football sack.
Hello, welcome to the Football Sack Podcast. My name is Matt Greenlaw. You're listening to The Sack on Sunday. We're going to be talking a few things football. First up, we've got the pre-season games that have happened over the past week. We'll give you the updates on Harry Kewell and Brett Emerton. There's always a lot happening with those two players, so we'll talk a bit about those guys. A bit of the New South Wales Premier League, and that finally will be concluded with Pete Goes Supernova. And we've had a few responses, some angry responses to Pete's outbursts on last week's show.
A lot of people have agreed with me as well, don't worry.
That on the microphone there is Supernova. Hello to you, Pete.
Hello, and how are you all doing? Wherever you're listening in the world, thank you for tuning in.
Silent over there in the corner is Michael Rochek. Hello to you.
Not silent for long. I'm going to start talking and you won't be able to shut me up. So thanks for having me again on the podcast.
Uh-oh.
Strong opinions, strongly put, strong views.
Strong coffee you've had this morning.
I've had a strong coffee.
All right, let's get into it. The pre-season games, possibly the one that is of most importance. Brisbane Roar had a 3-0 loss to Adelaide United. And so that's an A-League opponent, and they've gone down. And that's the first game that they've lost in quite a while, Rochek.
2 to 3 decades, I think. And look, it's impossible not to suffer from losing, you know, some of these big players. Matt Mackay, who's about to get his first start in the Old Firm derby, it's happening on Sunday morning. And to lose him, Kostas Barbarousis, it's going to take time for the new boys to gel. And they lost 3-0 to Adelaide United. And goals to Spasi Dolevski. Pete, help me out here.
Spasa Dolevski's free kick, which was rebounded off Thomas Broich's head. Bruce Jute getting a goal, and then the youngster, which is a trialist, La Stella, Michel La Stella, getting the last and third and final goal in the 69th minute.
How do you think this loss, because they haven't had a loss in quite a while, how will it affect them mentally?
Well, look, they're bound to have a loss eventually. Let's not forget that. You know, that you can't win every single game of football. It's unnatural to think that you can. Eventually, there was going to be a loss. But to lose 3-0, that's going to be a bit of an interesting one for them to digest. It's in Toowoomba. Apparently, the ground was a bit choppy.
Yeah, the ground wasn't really the best, and that really stuffed up Brisbane's play. They couldn't play that beautiful passing game. If you look at how Adelaide lined up, they didn't have the likes of John McCain, Dario Vidicic, or Andy Slurry in the side. So they missed a couple of players.
Yeah. So Adelaide had this strong-ish team, but not as strong as Brisbane Roar's team, perhaps. Is the key to beating Brisbane Roar this season just chopping your pitch up a bit before you play them?
I don't think it'd be an issue at the SFS. It's always choppy there. So, but I think, look, in terms of Brisbane not being able to play their beautiful passing game, it's going to be tough for them to do that because they don't have the personnel that they used to do calling the shots. So
they really wanted to. Ange Postecoglou there had said last season that he really wanted to keep the playing group and build this, what did he call
dynasty.
It? Dynasty. Dynasty, he called it. So, yeah, that will be hard to do with those loss of key players. Another pre-season game that has happened, Newcastle Jets got up 1-0 over Sydney FC.
Yep, James Virgili getting the goal there for the Jets in a game with had a bit of fight to it, I guess. Sydney FC definitely tried their best. Nick Cole missing a penalty towards the end of the game. And Jets just proved to be the better side, I guess.
Which is a big confidence-boosting result for them, having the news this week confirmed finally in the open media that Jason Kolina's knee surgery perhaps didn't go as well as they wanted. And he may be out for an entire season. So for them to beat Sydney FC in the preseason in Cessnock, which is another regional game, excellent to see them getting out to the regions. Good result for Newcastle. Back to the drawing board to an extent for Sydney. They've got a game against Perth next week, don't they, at Oakey Jubilee in Sydney. So that'll be Brett Emerton's first game.
Yeah. Newcastle Jets obviously will struggle without Kolina, but to see them beat Sydney FC, I mean, it's pre-season and we don't judge too much about the results, but you obviously want to see the football improving for both teams.
Yeah.
As Sydney fans here, we don't like to lay on our allegiances too much, but are you unhappy?
I'd like to have seen them win. I thought Newcastle would be a bit easier to face following that news. They've got, you know, there's a bit of buzz around Newcastle this year with Tinkler and the change of jersey and the two Kolinas
which
teaming
now won't
up.
Happen.
Which now may not happen for the whole season. Have to wait and see on that one. I tried to get a bit out of Adam Waterson, who's their strength and conditioning coach on Twitter. I wanted to get him on our show, Beyond the 90. Unfortunately, it couldn't happen, but you know, it's a tough one for that club to digest. Kalina is a big part of their game plan.
He is. And that radio show that you're talking about is Beyond the 90. There's also a podcast of that which you can catch if you miss the show, but it is on at 8 a.m. on Sunday mornings. So check that out.
iTunes as
well.
It's
on iTunes as well. Mm.
Yes,
and the website is 2GLF893.com. Let's move on, because last week, boys, you got me in a bit of trouble because I announced that I wasn't going to buy a membership.
Oh.
You were a bit upset at boys, weren't you?
Well, look, we're trying to build up the membership purchasing, and you just said you weren't going to do it.
Look, so. I'm going to do a backflip. I'm going to backflip.
Holy.
Yep.
Hold the phone.
We didn't get any callers. That's only because we haven't given a number out.
And I'm it's sure being recorded.
I'm sure we would have got lots of callers in. Just a few hours late. Yeah. I'm going to get the supporters membership.
Is that a cheer or a boo? That was a 50-50
split. No, that's a cheer. That's a cheer.
Yeah, a bit of a cheer.
So what that is, you don't attend any games, but you still get, for I think it's for $60 for the Sydney FC. I know, I'm sure it's different for other clubs. I think every club has a similar option.
Yeah. Not every club, but most do.
Most do, yeah. So you get a cap and a scarf and a few other, like a lanyard. Mm. I think the lanyard is the main thing that I want for the $60.
You've got one from 2010, 2011 on your keys right now. It's looking a bit grubby.
It is.
Maybe a bit tattered. It's time to upgrade. And I think $60 to support your club, to get a lanyard, to get a scarf and to get a hat and all the other paraphernalia, I think that's a good deal. I think you've redeemed yourself.
Okay, can we check that off the list?
Yeah, check. Yeah, check.
All right, you mentioned before that Brett Emerton starts his training on Monday, and that will be his first session with the Sky Blue, and that's at SFS. I'm headed along to that.
Awesome.
Hopefully get a little chat with Brett Emerton and possibly bring it on next week's podcast, or at the very least, I'll have an interview up online at thefootballsack.com, so great, you'll be able to check that out, listeners. His first match is hopefully going to be at Perth, against Perth, at Oakey Stadium on Saturday.
I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be a brilliant game. You've got Shane Smeltz running around for Perth Glory. You've got Liam Miller running around for Perth Glory.
Billy Mamet. Mamet. Oh, it is.
How do you say that?
It's M-E-H-M-E-T,
Mehmet.
Mehmet.
Anyway, we're going down the Simpsons
path. We'll see him play. I'm interested to see Liam Miller.
You guys know you Perth Glory football as well as I do.
We know them, but we don't know how to say them.
Yeah. No, look, it's going to be a brilliant game. Emo is going to play his first game in the new strip. That's something to see.
His first game, because Sydney FC did play against Newcastle Jets in their away strip.
Interesting. Emerton hopefully will bring something to Sydney FC that we haven't seen so far this preseason.
Look,
come on.
I think so. I think it's going to take a little bit of time for some of the new players to gel. You've got new players all up and down the park, and the preseason is time for these combinations to start gelling, to start getting some of the understanding between the players. Obviously, the boys that have been there since inception, in some instances, like Terry McFlynn, know how it works. It's just a matter of imparting that to the boss carts and the, you know, the others who have joined. And I think,
is that how you say that, boss cart?
Boschart.
Boschart or Boschart?
We're getting lessons from pronunciation, but look, I'm just going to call it how I see it. You know, it's a time for Sydney to start growing the understanding. Carol Kissel said it earlier on an interview that's up on the Football Sack. These are the gelling times. And I think game one, Melbourne victory, October 8, down at Amy Park, that's when we really want to start seeing the results.
Well, it might be the gelling time, but Carol Kissel isn't actually playing at the moment. He's injured. He should be back in about 2 weeks' time.
He's been here before, and I think, you know, he's worked under Lavichka before, so
he'll be ready for season start.
He'll be right.
He'll be fine. Yeah. Talking about that game on October 8, hopefully we will also see playing Harry Kewell. Over the weekend, we saw him receive number 22, the jersey. That's the jersey that he'll be playing for Melbourne Victory.
Anticlimactic, I think.
You think so?
Well, first up, I was disappointed that he didn't pick a stupid number like in the Serie A, where he should have got 77.
Yeah, or 99, like Ronaldinho.
99, like Ronaldinho. Yeah. I wanted a stupid number like that.
What did you want, Rochek?
I wanted to see him get 7 or 10.
No.
And I think that would have been great.
He wouldn't get 7.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. He shouldn't just come in and take 7s and 10s away, but I kind of wanted to see it. 22 is a funny number.
Was the story, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought the story was that his son chose 22? The number 22, because it was a fresh start.
Okay.
I think I'm picking that up.
That was
off Twitter.
The most convenient number that was already there that wasn't already taken by other players.
Pretty much. The best thing about that announcement is that 3,000 to 4,000 people were present at this first training session and to see him receive his jersey. 3,000 or 4,000, and they just came there to watch that and then to watch a training run. Melbourne Victory versus Melbourne Victory, the home versus away strips. That's fantastic, isn't it?
Isn't it? That's real football culture on display. You know, when a big player comes to a big club, you get big numbers of people turning up to see that event. It's not a ticketed event.
It was an event.
It's not a game. It's awesome. And look, really, that is football as it's played elsewhere. And I'm really liking this.
And honestly, that wouldn't have happened at Sydney.
No.
No way would that have happened.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have that culture where, you know, you drop everything. It's a Saturday when there's AFL on or rugby league on. You wouldn't get that patronage.
It was a family day out. It was a morning. The sun was shining.
Yep.
Greatness.
But it was nicely set up that Harry Kewell did end up scoring a goal in that game. It wasn't... Well, it was set up and all the photographers went crazy for that moment of glory. So
it was
nicely done by Melbourne Victory for that.
Well played, Victory. They have also made some signings recently, haven't they, Rochek?
Yeah, they have. They've signed a Brazilian defender called Fabio. Fabio Alves Macedo. And I'll probably get corrected on that.
Fabio.
Fabio,
does he have long blonde hair? And does he spruik Old Spice?
No, he's not Old Spice. Was he Old Spice? He was Old Spice.
Fabio did Old Spice ads.
He did Old Spice before the current bloke who's...
No, after. He was in response to the, the guy that went missing.
Right on. Well, look, I'd like to see a bit of synergy there. I'd like to see the Victory doing a bit of Old Spice and the Old Spice doing a bit of Victory. So, yeah, they signed him and also an 19-year-old ex-Sheffield United goalkeeper, Lawrence Thomas.
Yeah, Lawrence Thomas, former Sheffield United player, hopefully means that he's got a bit of zing.
Bit about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, Tando, we all think in Sydney is probably a half-season signing, then everyone will come to their senses and see Tando Falappi, or Flappy as we like to call him.
Reports have been that he's been performing okay.
Yeah
he has, actually. Yeah. He's been doing very well in goals.
And I think that's probably as much as to do with Melbourne Victory, who have the structures in place, right? There's a bit of pressure on him there. I think at Perth Glory under Dave Mitchell and then under Ian Ferguson, he probably didn't have that pressure on him, and he was just seen as a guy who was number one goalkeeper.
Especially
there.
If there's this young goalkeeper coming in. You saw how well Matt Ryan performed at Central Coast last year, young goalkeeper, given a chance and took the number one spot.
Had to play for his position too.
Yeah.
Genuine competition for positions means that you lift your game up.
And that's... I keep coming back to Sydney, I'm sorry. Reddy and Nechevsky, they're kind of on par with each other and not really competing as such.
Watching Sydney FC's preseason, Nechevsky has been horrible
in goal, Reddy,
making countless mistakes, and Reddy has been proving that he can actually make a couple of decent saves. Now, against Perth Glory, you'll see that Reddy will be in goals and he'll actually play some nice football against... Sydney Olympic. Ivan,
that's what I'm saying.
This goal, and he was horrible. No offense to Ivan, if you are listening, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, okay. If they're on, maybe not on par with each other, but if Nechevsky isn't challenging for a spot, then Reddy knows.
Well, there's no reason for him to be there if he's not going to be challenging. Now, back in...
he's on a few-year deal, is why he's still there.
Contractually obligated.
It's pointless, though, because if you think a couple of years ago at Newcastle Jets, Ben Kennedy versus Neil Young. Now, Neil Young was pushing absolutely every single day to try and get that goalkeeper jersey.
Then he got kicked in the head really
hard.
And
that screwed up his season.
Yeah.
But... that's the difference. Now, they fought for that spot, and he got that.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, with Nechevsky and with Reddy, unfortunately, at the start of last year, Nechevsky, not unfortunately that he was picked, but he was given an extended run. They were like, okay, Nechevsky's our number one. He had one or two bad games, and then Lovichka just changed it up, and Reddy was number one. There's been no sort of structured plan whereby Nechevsky and Reddy know that they are. It's just been, okay, you're number one. Okay, you're number one. I'd like to see some sort of continuity there. It's a bit like the Sydney FC CEO situation.
There is a new goalkeeping coach, though, isn't there?
Yeah, I believe there is.
At Sydney FC, it is Spider.
It's Zelko, of course.
Zelko Kalic.
Yeah. It's been some great goalkeeping coaches there over the years. I mean,
just hasn't helped.
Fraser.
Jim Fraser, John Phelan,
yep.
Who's, you know, an excellent, excellent goalkeeper from the lower leagues of England. It's been an absolute revelation. He played for the Socceroos once or twice as well. So.
He did. Mm. Have you guys heard much about the Central Coast Mariners and what's going on there? Because they're in some financial strife, aren't they?
Look, it's a tough thing to talk about, I guess. The topic is that the club has little to no money sitting there available. They've spent almost everything they've got. They've sent out SOS calls to pretty much everyone in the world except us, which I'm a bit disappointed about.
They know we've got no money. Let's be honest, space
that's cool. That's fine.
We've got voices.
Yeah, we've got voices.
And I see you're very fashionably wearing that We Are Football shirt.
Well, thank you.
So, yeah, we do have a voice, and we have T-shirts that spruik the A-League as well.
Yes, we do. Well, at least I do.
Yeah.
Free plugs.
Free plugs.
Yep. So if anyone's listening who's got any money and is willing to invest in who I genuinely believe will be the A-League champs, put your hand in your pocket. Be a football person if you are a football person in business world.
And sponsor the Football Sack.
Exactly.
No, I've got that mixed up.
No, the Mariners.
The Mariners. Okay. Yeah, the Mariners. Yeah. They do deserve, because they're quite well run, quite a well run club. I think what I heard, and it might have been contested by the club itself, was that superannuation payments were being, or hadn't been paid for a year.
I've heard that, yeah. I think we probably should talk to Brendan Schwab about this. I mean, he's the players' union head, he's the head of the FIFA Pro in Asia. He will know all about this, and there will be. There was a lot said about Newcastle Jets when Con Constantine was in his final days and the fact that better paid players were reaching into their pockets to pay for kids to get by in the club. And you obviously, when you hear stories like that, you know that something's wrong. Mm. Superannuation, well, they've really got to get that in. There's laws that say you've got to pay the superannuation, otherwise you're going to have to pay a charge. And we don't like hearing those stories. No. But it was interesting. The day that story broke in News Limited papers, Harry Kewell touched down.
And Sam Stosur had won the US Open.
But News Limited had decided to go over the Harry Kewell signing and just talk about the Central Coast Mariners being in financial hardship. Poor editorial choice, I believe, there.
Now, one thing I just wanted to throw in there, which was a message sent out by the current Mariners chairman, Peter Turnbull. He basically sent out a message to everyone saying, we're all okay. No need to worry, which was really, really annoying for every single Mariners supporter. But fingers crossed, things get better.
Are they not okay?
Really?
Are they not okay? Well, I mean, look, they're not in administration. They're solvent. They may be having some cash flow problems, but you know.
Well, talking to a couple of the people at the club, things aren't as okay as they probably should be, and that's why they're sending out an SOS to Singleton. So hopefully things get better for them very, very soon.
Right. Let's spend a little moment overseas. We don't often go overseas, but
we're going overseas.
Yeah, just a bit of a trip.
Yeah,
mine's expired.
That's no good.
Ronaldo.
Yes.
Cristiano.
You know.
Everyone's jealous of him.
Oh, look, and with good reason. You know why? Because he's rich, because he's handsome, and he's a great player. I mean, that's three very good reasons to be jealous of Cristiano Ronaldo.
This is a direct quote. Mm. Can you repeat the direct quote from him?
Well, it was in the aftermath of the game in the Champions League. It was in the 73rd minute. Real Madrid's Marcelo was sent off. He earned a second yellow for diving under one of Leko's challenges. And Madrid players are unhappy at several refereeing decisions. So, in the press conference, Ronaldo was asked about Real Madrid and the referees, how they officiate when they play against him. And, look, he had a lot to say about himself.
Tell us the quote. Just go.
He's rich, handsome, and a great player, and that's why the referees do not like Cristiano Ronaldo.
For the latest news, opinion, match reports, and for more on the A-League, head to our website at thefootballsack.com.
We have a book to give away. One got past the keeper. It's the final week that we're giving away this book. Quite a good read by the guys at Fertile FC. Six-a-side soccer they were all involved in, and the whole team decided to write a book about their story and their involvement as parents. As the season wore on in their six-a-side competition, they all became parents. So they renamed their team to Fertile FC and thought they'd document their stories in a book. And we have one to give away. The winner of this week's competition, we've got our hat here and we've put our entries in the hat, and we're going to pull one out.
With Pete on the microphone there. And the winner is...
Lewis Pimentis. Lewis, you've won. You correctly guessed the word, or guessed. You didn't. You didn't really listen to the show. We got the secret word from the podcast, which was parenthood. So congratulations, Lewis. You've won a copy of One Got Past the Keeper. We'll be in contact with you to get your details, and then we will send it away to you. We have more great competitions coming up over the season. We have... some great stuff. I haven't told you guys, but plenty of things to give away over the next few weeks. It was New South Wales Premier League. They're in their final series, aren't they, Pete? And you went to the match against Sutherland Sharks and Blacktown Demons, aren't they?
Blacktown City Demons. Blacktown City FC. They're not the Demons? No, not anymore. They changed their name about 2 years back now.
A lot of people still refer to them as the Demons,
just like a lot of people still refer to Parramatta as Melita.
And Eagles.
And everything like that.
Okay. But Blacktown. Well, the Blacktown that's in the Premier League, and not the Blacktown that's in the Super League.
Looking at the New South Wales Premier League, Blacktown managed to get a 2-1 win over Sutherland. Goals from Rudenberg as well as Sean Rooney, who people would know as a former Newcastle Jets and Sydney FC player.
Great striker.
He is fantastic. His quality on the field is just phenomenal. The goal for Sutherland came from former Central Coast Mariner and North Queensland Fury centre midfielder Panny Nickers.
So this means Blacktown, well, they got this win over Sutherland Sharks, which is a bit of an upset.
Yes, it is.
I'm sure you agree. You firmly believe that Sutherland Sharks were the best team in the New South Wales Premier League, and I kind of dispute that in that Sydney Olympic won the title. Now, Blacktown go on and they play the winner of Sydney Olympic and Sydney United.
Big game.
Yes, they do.
Big, big game, that one. Sydney Olympic and Sydney United. Great history throughout the NSL and great history this season. Sydney Olympic have won the New South Wales Premier League minor premiership. Mm. Sydney United, very strong lineup.
Very close as well. It would be interesting to see, or quite a nice story to see Blacktown go all the way, because they were middle of the table for a lot of the season, weren't they, and they've come up.
Yeah, they have a very, very good squad. And talking to Mark Crowder then after the game, he's the head coach of Blacktown, he's basically just said that the team all work together and they just gel so perfectly well, and that's the difference for them. They've gone off, they've beaten Bonnyrigg last week, they've beaten Sutherland now, and they're up against either Olympic and United, and I have strong hope, that they're going to make it to the final because of how good their side is.
In terms of a logistics or a crowd number type thing, down in the VPL, you saw, was it three or 4,000 people at the final at Amy Park there?
Yeah, about that, yeah.
And apparently that was their highest pre-sales for tickets for a grand final. And that's wonderful to see. Mm. Up here in the New South Wales Premier League, possibly to have that, you would like to see United and Olympic there. Mm. Because I think they have the strongest support.
Most definitely. The two.
Historically, I'd say that would be the case. And we'd love to see that kind of crowd. And hopefully, we get those two teams sparring off.
And at either stadium, because both clubs have... Would it be played at home ground or would it be at a neutral venue?
No, it would be played at Belmore Sports Ground.
It would. Okay.
Because Sutherland would have had choice of where the final would have been if they would have got there, because they were club champions. But because they're now out, yes,
which
I
club?
Get thrown that in.
Which club?
They didn't top the league.
No, they're 18s, they're 20s, and their first team performed so well, they're club champions overall. Yeah. There you go.
Win. But because they win at life. Now knocked out.
Yes, so it will be played at Belmore Sports Ground as long as Olympic end up winning their game.
Yeah.
But if it is United who goes through, it won't be played at Adenza Park because their field is so horrible.
Where would it... Would it still be played at Belmore?
It'll probably be played at Belmore, hopefully.
So no matter what, we're headed to Belmore in a couple of weeks' time.
Big advantage for Sydney Olympic if it's only going to be played at Belmore.
Pretty much, yeah.
And I think they've earned that.
Okay, yeah, well, look, they've been the best team in the league, in one league, all year long.
In one league.
Hold back, Pete, hold back.
You can go supernova in just a moment.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to mention the Women's New South Wales Premier League. The grand final was the other week. Illawarra Stingrays getting a 2-0 win over North Western Sydney Koalas. Now, that was the third year in a row that the Stingrays have won the championship. It's actually their fourth year that they've won a trophy, because 4 years back they won the promotion from the Super League up to the Premier League.
Everything is also going well for Mark Shield, who
yes, it is.
Has been given the top honours in refereeing land.
And a great thing that is too, because we can't have Matthew Breese calling the shots. Matthew Breese is a guy who needs somebody who'd look over his shoulder and to make sure that he's doing the right thing. And Shield has really shown himself to be our number one referee in the land. Stolofsky's pretty close, but I think that it's a good thing that Mark Shield is stepping back into the fold after he stepped away for family reasons for, I think, two seasons ago.
Right. It's the segment you've all been waiting for.
Oh, Pete's been waiting for this too.
Here is
Pete Goes Supernova.
It's been going supernova all show.
Now, last week I copped a lot of abuse because I was talking about David Beckham coming to the A-League, and I was really, really frustrated with that. And I also had a lot of people saying that the New York Red Bulls should be coming out here, Portland Timbers or Seattle Sounders. Anyone would be better. But this week, I just want to talk about why on earth are we having a Socceroos game the day before the start of the A-League? I just find that absolutely stupid, pointless and pathetic. Now, we've had Harry Kuehl talking about, oh, yes, I want to play for my national team. But now he said, no, wait, I'm going to play for Melbourne Victory. Smart move, thank you. And we've also had Brett Emerton, who has been said that he wants to play for Sydney FC and not for the Socceroos for that game, which is fantastic. Now, I still really, really find it annoying that FFA want to have a game the day before. I don't see any point in that. You're not going to get a crowd that huge just for that game against Malaysia. Mm. It's just stupid.
And that was Pete Goes Supernova.
Now, Rochak, I'll get your impressions on that in just a moment. But before we do, last week we had some feedback on your David Beckham rant.
Yep.
And a lot of people are getting angry and they're writing in letters to the Football Sack.
You're kidding.
To info at the Football Sack. So here are a couple responses.
Let's hear them.
Dear Pete, I think David Beckham is an advocate for the game and can build football in Australia. Your rant was rubbish. Sincerely, Robert. And then Supernova, I wouldn't pay to see David Beckham play again if you paid me.
Sweet. Harry, they agree with me.
That doesn't make sense. If I wouldn't pay to see Beckham play again if you paid me. He's got his merds waddled there.
That's all right. It's good to see that people agree with me, and I just find it absolutely stupid that we're still going on about David Beckham coming out to Australia. Like, I would rather see Thierry Henry with New York Red Bulls come out here.
Mm.
And, like, that would draw a better crowd, I think. Even the likes of New England Revolutions, which I know a lot of people in America who I'm good friends with would love to see that.
If anyone else wants to rebut Pete's rant, send us an email at info@thefootballsack and let us know your thoughts and we'll read
them out. Don't forget the .com at the end there.
Info@thefootballsack.com. Probably won't work otherwise.
Yeah.
Rochek, what do you think about the Malaysia game being played on the 7th?
Look, I know it's dangerous for me to say this and I know Pete wants to jump across the decks at me, but I agree with Pete. I totally agree with you. Malaysia, it's not a massive game. And if it screws up the start of the A-League season, no other sport has internationals that competes with us. Just let me finish on this one. No other sport has internationals that compete with it, but no other code would have done this.
It just completely undermines the start of the
A-League. It does. When you want air, you want oxygen, you want to shine a light, why would you have a game against frickin' Malaysia?
The reason that they've done this, and they've done this with the best intentions, is that they want to highlight, they want to start the league off with a bang. They didn't know when they started organising the calendar that these two players would be back in the league. And so,
but you've got to make a decision.
Even still,
you've got to make a decision. We've been talking about
this
for weeks.
And
this
is what I don't agree with. Yeah, that they haven't made
this for weeks.
A decision.
Mm.
But I'm okay with them organising games beforehand.
Spot on.
Because they are the best intentions. And they are working. They are working hard. I understand the FFA are trying quite hard to please everyone and to kick the A-League off with a bang. But make a decision.
Absolutely. And look, the FFA are in a really good position here because they directly employ Holger Rozek. They can talk to him anytime. He goes into their office because that's his office. And they need to just start the dialogue with him, and then they need to give the media a whole lot of attention and forewarning of this, and then let the fans know, because there are fans who've paid money to go down to Melbourne. So I'm not happy about it, and I'm going Supernova as well.
We'll give you a segment next week, because we won't. You've got your check segment.
Yeah, that's right.
Which we've still got to work on.
It, yeah.
All right, that is about all we have time for here on the Football Sack. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening in. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes. We'd really like you to subscribe and to also let everyone know about us. Spread the word. Spread the gospel, the Football Sack gospel. Thank you, Supernova.
No worries.
Rochek, thank you for being on the show.
Good to be on again.
I hope to see you next week.
That was the Football Sack Podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with all of the football action across Australia.